I'd like you to take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Revelation chapter 1. We're going to be getting there. It's a great passage of Scripture that tells about Jesus Christ the Lord. And so is that Scripture reading that William read for us, Colossians chapter 1. They're both wonderful Christological passages of Scripture, and it just so happens, by God's ordaining, that we find ourselves in these two passages that wonderfully exalt Jesus Christ. Let me just remind you where we've been the last couple of weeks together. We have been talking about being the salt and the light of the earth. The Lord Jesus Christ told us that ye are the light of the world, and as Christians, and we are the salt of the earth, and we saw what that meant to us as believers in practical ways. And then last week we saw what the Apostle Paul was saying, how we are the epistles of God, written and seen of men. And it's the work of the Spirit of God that changes an individual. When a person comes to saving faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that he becomes a new creature. And old things are passed away and all things become new. And then what's going on is, because your life is changed in such a way, there's people from your old life that knew what you were like, and now they see a change in you. And Paul refers to that in a very interesting way there in that 2 Corinthians 3 passage, where he tells us that we are the epistles of God, written and seen of men. Isn't that an amazing thing, of the transformation of a life that is changed by being saved by the grace of God and becoming a Christian, not just by a word, but the person of Christ. And William read this morning, Christ in you, the hope of glory, Christ in you. And Christ working out of you, and the light of Christ shining through you. And we're told to let our light so shine among men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. So we've been talking about this matter of life, our lives. Remember, I concluded saying that we're like billboards for Jesus Christ last week. It seems like it was a month ago that I was here preaching that message. It's been such a crazy week of traveling for us, but we're glad to be back, and thank you for your prayers once again. But we know that we've been considering the responsibilities that we have been given by the Lord to be epistles, billboards, light, salt. And this morning I would like to talk to you about where all of that kind of training takes place. And is it not in the faithful churches that still believe the Bible? Isn't this the only place you're going to hear about the truth of the living God? Well, I know we have college ministries, we have fellowships, we have fellowship together with companions of like precious faith, but really our roots come from the church of the living God, that God in his wisdom ordained for the good of his people. We're like the sheep. We need a shepherd, and Jesus Christ is our chief shepherd and our good shepherd, and he has ordained that churches like this that believe the Bible still exist. And where else does that spiritual business of the soul take place? It's churches that are true to the Word of God and by the grace of God are trying to do what is right. Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He says, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both to minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown. He was saying that this is a place where there's a sowing of seed taking place, and it's for your food. In other words, it feeds you. The Word of God does feed us. Remember what Peter said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, and then he talks about the meat of the word of God is that which nourishes us, it strengthens us. And so here we are, we're getting this bread, the bread of heaven for our souls, and it feeds us. Oftentimes, it's sitting in the sanctuary, we smell good food cooking in the kitchen. That's food for your body. What happens in this little kitchen is food for your soul. We're getting fed. And that's what Paul was referring to. That seed is being sown to minister bread for your food. And then he says, and to multiply your seed sown. In other words, when we leave this place, we're going out and we're talking about the things that God has taught us, and we're sharing them with others. That's a good thing to do. You're multiplying the seed, and we're to be sowers of the seed. Remember the parable of the sower that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about? He tells us in Mark chapter 4 and verse 3, he says, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And later on in his explanation of that parable, he says the sower is sowing the word. In other words, he reminds us that this seed that is being sown is the word of God. And it's the word of God that works in us and does great things in us and helps us to be different in a world and to be living epistles for Jesus Christ and to let our lights so shine. An interesting light, no pun intended, is shed upon the subject in Revelation chapter 1. I've asked you to turn there with me, and when I was preparing for this, I didn't know where to begin and end, so I'm just going to read to you what it says in Revelation chapter 1, and then we'll make some comment upon it. Follow along with me. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by an angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which is in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him that is and that was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come. I, John, also, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and he turned, And I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle, and his head and his hairs were white like wool, and white as snow, and his eyes were a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun that shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first, and I am the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of hell and death. Write these things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and of the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the churches, and the seven candlesticks are the seven churches. Now, let me just stop there. He is saying that the candlesticks are the churches. And I want to share with you, as I've been talking about how Christians are called to be light and living epistles and billboards for Christ and to let our light so shine, it's the same way for the church. The church is considered as a candlestick. You might say it's a torch of light for Christ, who is the light of the world. After all, the church belongs to Christ, right? He is the foundation. He is the head. He is everything to the church. If we take Christ out of this equation of what we do here, our time is futile. Our time is foolish. But we cannot take Christ out of the center of the church. In fact, it's the light of Jesus Christ that is to light the world. It's like a city on a hill. This place is to be a place for weary travelers. It's a place, it's a beacon. It's a candlestick for the lost. It's like a little watchtower of truth. Every true church of Jesus Christ, they are a candlestick as Jesus, as we read in the words of John about the churches that have Jesus Christ as their Lord, Master, and Savior. This, he says, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. That is, they are the messengers. They are the pastors. Now, I'm not claiming to be an angel. I'm just saying that word angel is the original word meant a messenger. And what it's speaking about is the pastors of these churches. So these pastors and the people are people of the Word of God. And they make up the churches that believe the Word of God. You know, did you ever think we'd have to say that? Did you ever have to think that we would have to say that you know, the church believes the Word of God? Well, we do, because it's not that common anymore, especially in our country. It's not that common that people still believe the Word of God. We're going to see a little later that there's been a great falling away, a defecting from the truth of God. And it's something that needs to be impressed, that the church of Jesus Christ is to be a place where the light of the Word of God and the light of the Savior of God, Jesus Christ, and the light of the people of God all work together in synchronization together, and we serve together and we're rejoicing together in the light from Almighty God. And the church is given this responsibility to be a light for Jesus Christ. As much as the world of men and women and young people are resisting the truth of God is exactly what the world needs to hear again and again. And where are they going to hear it if they don't hear it from the churches that believe it and from the people that absorb the word of God on the Lord's day and go out and be dispensers and ambassadors and Christians who are witnessing to others? The world is dying in need of the truth, the very truth that they're abandoning. Jesus said this in John 3 with that discourse with Nicodemus. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. See, it's this whole matter of this whole battle of darkness and light has been going on from the very beginning. And I think I mentioned somewhere along the way in this series of messages that the very first creative act of God in Genesis was that God separated the light from the darkness. And that principle is found throughout all of the scriptures. When we are children of light, when we are believers in the light of the world, Jesus, remember what he said? I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We who have been changed and we have the light of Jesus Christ in us, this has been a common occurrence since the beginning of time, that the light is different from the darkness. And what we're talking about is true churches being the light for Jesus Christ. And it's a sacred trust. It's a trust that God has given to the people of God, to the pastors of God, to the church of God, to all, that we be keepers of the truth of God. It's a sacred trust that God has given to us that we might carry on and be faithful until he comes. Listen to how Paul put it toward the end of his Roman epistle. He said this, the night is far spent and the day is at hand. What do you think he means by that? The night is far spent. In other words, the darkness is overtaking, seems like it's overtaking so much of the light. The day is at hand. The day, what day? He's talking about the return of Jesus Christ. We're told that in the last days, things are going to get worse and worse, darker and darker. The night is far spent. That means it's almost over. And the day is at hand. And notice what he says to us in Romans 13:12. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light and let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, not in drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. Basically, what he's saying is everything that the world is doing in the world of darkness around us, everything that we see running rampant in our world, he's saying, cast all that off, right? Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness and chambering. And then he says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to obey the lust thereof. And so he says to us, the night is far spent. Children of light, cast off the works of darkness. You need to decide, you need to determine that you are going to shine for Jesus Christ. And of course, we're encouraging you to do that in churches as candlesticks, as light bearers. Paul reminded us in Ephesians 5:8, he said, and it's good for us to remember where we came from, you know. He said, ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are the light of in the Lord. Walk as children of light. He tells us to be proving what is acceptable unto the Lord and to walk as children of light. He said this to the Thessalonians. He said, "Brethren, ye are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you like a thief in the night. You're the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day, we who are of the light, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, the helmet, for an helmet, and the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ, who died for us." And so we are being exhorted time and time again to be a people of light and to hang on to the sacred trust that God has given to us as a church. And just by way of application to these thoughts of us, the church being a light, as well as the people of God, just by way of application, I'd like to ask you this question. What is it that dulls or diminishes the light of a church? And I was thinking about this as I was traveling this week, and I listed a few things, and I'd like to zoom in on one especially this morning. And one of the things that diminishes or dulls the light of a church is this idea of falling away or defecting from the truth. Listen to how Paul put this. He said, "I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." In that statement, there's an urgency. Because we don't know when Jesus Christ is coming again. But he is beseeching us, begging us, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we not be soon shaken in mind and be troubled in spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. In other words, it's imminent, it's near. And he says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first." That falling away there in that original language is where we get our English word apostasy. Apostasy. And what that word means is a defection from the truth. When I first heard that as a young Christian, I was mixing up the word apostasy with apostles. Oh, well, I was really mixed up in the beginning there, you know? And you got to learn that, you know, the apostles are good, but apostasy is bad. And this word apostasy means that you're falling away from the truth. In that same text, Paul goes on and he expresses it as a mystery of iniquity that abounds. And so this 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 speaks of all of those things that there's going to be before the Lord comes again. Get this now. Before the Lord comes again, there's going to be a great defection from the truth. There's going to be this apostasy. There are churches that no longer want to hear the truth. Yet they meet every Sunday. Or they meet every week. But they're not like you and I. They're not believing the old book that God has given, that we believe God is preserved in perfect condition, that we can count on, we can rely on, we can always know that God will never change his mind nor alter his word, and he doesn't want us to change our mind, and he doesn't want us to alter his word. And we are still a church that believes that, but let me tell you something. You don't have to look very far to find out that there's so many other churches that just are not doing that. They don't believe the scriptures anymore. And you know, you can actually see that by the way they conduct themselves. Someone was just telling me that church has, was it you, Jerry, that was telling me the church has got the rainbow banner flying, you know, over? Well, listen, when you see a rainbow flying over a church, that's a bad sign. That means they're tolerating and accepting all the world views of the day. They have abandoned the Word of God somewhere along the way. There are churches that have, you know, other evidences that are very visible to the eye of a discerning believer that something is not right in that church. And why is it? Why is it when God has given us, made the church the pillar and ground of the truth, why should we waver and change the word of God to make it convenient to the whims of sinful and unrighteous and wicked men? God forbid. The church is a sacred trust. The word of God is a sacred trust for us. And this church in the years ahead, we want this church to be a candlelight, a torch for Christ that shines until Jesus Christ comes again. And it's going to take a people of light who are following the Savior of light, who realize that we've been given a sacred trust to uphold the church as a light in a world of darkness. And my, aren't we planted in a perfect spot for that? In this world in which we live, and this mystery of iniquity is already abounding. You know, Paul says something very similar to what he said here in the book of Romans chapter 1. We don't have to go there, but you will remember that it's the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, they're suppressing the truth. They're holding the truth down in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. God hath showed it unto them. They are without excuse. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, he says this, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. When man follows his own heart, his heart becomes darkened, because to follow your own heart is to defect from the word of God. Remember what Jeremiah said? He said, our hearts are wicked, desperately wicked. Who can know them? And so those who follow their own vain imaginations, their foolish hearts, they became darkened. They professed themselves to be wise, Paul said, but they became fools. Listen, we don't profess that we are the wisest people in the world. In fact, you and I as Christians, don't we need to continually pray for wisdom? Remember what James said in James chapter 1, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and he abradeth not, and it shall be given unto him. We know we need wisdom. We know we need to pray for wisdom. But there are those who profess themselves to be wise. In other words, they're the know-it-alls of the world. They profess themselves to be wise, but God says, but they became fools. They're foolish. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man. They changed the truth of God into a lie. Isn't that what I'm talking about? Churches that have changed the truth of God. They've suppressed it. They've done away with it. They have resisted it. They don't want to hear it anymore. Listen, that's the world in which we're living, children of light. That's the world we're living in, living epistles of Christ. This is the world that the church must shine in, a world of darkness. We have this trust given to us by Almighty God himself. He goes on and he talks about in verses 24, 26, and 28, how God gave them up to their reprobation. They became reprobates, and he gave them over to that. That word reprobation is a word that is often used in today's vernacular in humor. But let me tell you something. There's nothing humorous about it. Not from our perspective. When God gives you over, that's a bad day. And you can see it in Romans chapter 1. You can see what the theologians have called that, the downward fall or progression of man. It's like a spiral going downward, downward, downward. And the only way to get out of all that is to go upward, upward, upward to Almighty God, whose promises are yea and amen in Jesus Christ. And he is faithful to hear and answer the prayers of repentant sinners who will come to him in a heart of full assurance and faith that Jesus Christ died for them and gave them eternal life. Listen, if you're just walking in your own way, you're going to be in darkness. But if you're walking in the ways of Christ, you're going to be in the light. And you're going to learn more and more about being in the light by being among the people of God and being in the church of God, where the truth is being told to you week after week, line upon line, precept upon precept. You're being built up in the most holy faith. You're getting your souls fed, and you're getting seed to sow to a lost and dying world. And you can say, you know, these churches out there that have abandoned the truth are not where you're going to find peace with God. But the churches where you're going to find peace with God are churches that have taken this sacred trust and have believed it. Listen to what Paul said to Timothy. He said, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. He was telling Timothy, who was a young pastor, this was in the last chapter of his first epistle. He said, keep that which is committed. Listen, my whole point in this message this morning is that there is a great defection today. It diminishes the light of God. And our churches and God's disciples are given this sacred trust to hold fast to the biblical doctrines of God. We don't have to look elsewhere. We have the truth of God right here before us. And what I'm saying to you is that the church is given this trust to hold fast the form of sound words. The psalmist said, if the foundation is destroyed, what can the righteous do? So we must keep going. We must walk as children of light. We must fight the good fight of faith. We must keep this sacred trust in the church, which is to be a bright, shining light. And we must hold fast the sound doctrines. Next week, we want to continue on with these thoughts of other things that might diminish or dull the light of the church. Because there are others. There are other things, not just apostasy, but I think, if I'm going alphabetically, apostasy is at the top of the list. And we certainly can see I hope you can see that that's a problem. You know, because not all churches that are open today are preaching a humble message to humble people who are hungering for the word of God, and telling about a God that saves sinners to the uttermost. And we know, if you're a sinner saved by grace, you know that that if God didn't save you, you'd be a mess today, wouldn't you? And so would I. And we're grateful for that. And we're not strutting around like a bunch of proud peacocks. No, we're humble sinners rejoicing in the Lord that he gave us light. And isn't it a wonderful thing that God keeps shedding light into our souls as we continue to grow? I mean, you know more now than when you first believed, don't you? And you'll know more, you know, in the months to come than you did today. It's a wonderful thing that God is faithful to shed his light. By the way, that's another reason to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You might miss a beam of light from heaven if you miss a Sunday. But, you know, it's good for us. It's good for us to be nurtured and fed and shed light upon us. And may Faith Baptist Church in Orono be a beacon of light until Jesus Christ comes again. Amen? It's a sacred trust. Let's all keep it. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we beg thee for understanding in these things. Lord, sometimes our senses become dull, and we confess that sometimes our light is diminished, and we need to be reminded. We need to have our attitudes adjusted. We need to have our hearts changed again and renewed again. And thank you, God, that you're a patient God, a long-suffering God, and the God of light. And in you is no darkness at all. May we continue to look to thee, the great source of light, for us to walk in this world of darkness. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us to make a difference with our lives, and that you would use us all our days and help us all to finish well for Jesus Christ. What a great life you've given us. What a blessing it is to be a Christian. What a blessing it is to have newness of life. And Lord, I pity the poor one who does not know this wonderful joy of being a Christian saved by the grace of God. Lord, we would pray for any that are here today, perhaps, that are not saved, that you would stir them to desire to want to be saved this morning. And I just wonder, is there anyone here like that this morning that is not saved but you'd like to be saved? If you are like that, would you just look up here at me and just make eye contact with me that I might be able to pray for you and ask you to talk to me about that maybe later. But certainly want to help you to know Jesus as your Savior. Our Father, please, would you bless each and every one that has heard the word today? And especially may we go home realizing that this church is more than just a building. This church is a sacred trust given to us, and that this place is to be a light in a world of darkness. And Lord, I pray that your people who come to this church would be shedding the light beams of the Savior to a lost and dying world, and to be a blessing with each other. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Andrew.